And if you would, those hospitality registers are in your pews. Go ahead, sign those, pass those down at any point during worship so that we can greet one another by name. One announcement that I have before we begin this morning is that in your letter that you received in the end of June, beginning of July, it did note that we would be having a congregational talk back. Lots of exciting things happening here at GPC. I know folks have questions, and if you would like to talk more about the staffing and governance changes, please meet with us in, and by us, I mean the session and I, in the adult lounge following worship. If you can't stay today, don't worry, we'll have more opportunities for that. A note about this morning's worship. It is a joy to share with you the experiences of the mission team from Gates and Batavia Presbyterian Churches who just returned from Guatemala. The mission team is comprised of Christina Mosgraber, Andrea Unson, Beth Oman, Rob Oman, David Keeling, Tom Ward, and myself here from GPC, and from Batavia, Judy Tompkinson and Kay Federley. A few years ago, our relationship with the people of Guatemala was greatly enhanced by a new partnership with the Garden's Edge and Quachalum. The Garden's Edge is all about supporting sustainable agriculture, micro-enterprise, and education in rural communities in order to revitalize knowledge and improve economic well-being. And so they are based out of New Mexico and partner directly with Quachalum, or Mother Earth Association, whose staff and board are all local Mayan farmers and families who long to rebuild their lives and communities after decades of civil war and genocide. This was my first time in Guatemala, and I am so grateful for the support of this congregation and for Katie for holding down the fort while I was away, for Batavia Presbyterian Church, their ongoing support, and also thank you to the Presbytery here of Genesee Valley. We as GPC and Batavia were the recipients of the Triple Play Grant, which made a significant financial contribution to our ongoing work and relationships. Now, friends, you will hear the experiences of the team as we share through liturgy and song and also meditations and thoughts during the sermon. Let us worship God together.
Streams of living water. Please stand for the call to worship. Come, listen to the one. Come, see the one. Come, celebrate the relationship of the sower, the seed and the land nurtured by the one. Please join me in the prayer of confession. The seed is a tiny, wrinkled, ugly thing, and anyone who doesn't know better might think that it's useless. Sower God, we confess we often treat your word as something to throw away, unaware of what it contains. We do the same with people and your creation. You don't sow dead seeds. Bury within each of us the seeds of justice and peace so that we may sow your divine compassion in this world. And now let us hear our words of assurance. Christ rose from the dead because he was a healthy seed. If we're going to rise from the dead like Christ, we must be of the same seed that he was. Gathered as a sower's community of believers, our family of faith, with the help of the Holy Spirit living in us, we can now produce forgiveness for each other as we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Are welcome to come forward. Friends, I would like to introduce you to a friend of mine. This is Kay, and she's a member at the Presbyterian Church just down the road in Batavia. And we went together on our trip to Guatemala, and she has a story she'd like to share with you.
Good morning. Can you tell I went to Guatemala? Yes, we have on our Guatemalan clothes. I'm going to get down here with you. My granddaughter just said, you won't be able to get back up again. Close to being true. All right, while we were in Guatemala, one of the things that we learned about are seeds. We learned a lot about seeds. So I'm going to have Chrissy open the packets and show you some of these seeds. We're going to put them on this green felt because they'll show up a little better. All right. I'm going to put them all down there. Okay. And bear with me here, folks. Chrissy's lining them all up. All right. There's some in there. Now, as you start looking at these seeds, I want you to notice that these seeds don't all look alike, do they? There are some seeds that are very small, like the amaranth seeds that we got when we came in this morning. And it's hard to see these really dark ones here. Those are lettuce seeds, and they're very, very teeny tiny. Then there are some kind of medium-sized seeds. There are some lemon seeds, some corn seeds, and some other kinds of seeds. This is a plum pit, and that's an apricot pit. And these are some tree seeds that we picked up when we were in Guatemala. And then here is a jumbo avocado pit. So these seeds don't look alike at all, do they? But each one of them, when they're planted, knows exactly what to do to grow up and become a plant in God's world. Now these seeds remind me a little bit, that's okay, you can do it. The seeds remind me a little bit of God's people. We don't all look alike, do we? Some of us are big, some of us are small, some of us are kind of round, some of us are kind of skinny. But just like these seeds, I think that we are here as seeds to grow God's love here on earth. All right, so we are seeds of God's love. And as we go about... And as we go through our life, it's important for us to show other people all about God's love so that his seeds of love will grow right here on earth. Okay? And thank you for Melissa for letting me come and talk to you today. And I think Mary and Chrissy are going to the nursery. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you guys can go back and sit with your parents if you'd like.
The first reading of the word is Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we rejoiced. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the watercourses in the Negev. May those who sow in tears reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, carrying their sheaves.
And our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him, and he got into a boat, and he sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach, and he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as she sowed, some of the seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. And other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. And other seeds fell among the thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked them. And other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." My personal journey to Guatemala began a few months before our actual departure. It began in early June with a class I was taking for my doctoral program called the Global Read of the Bible. And during that class time, I spent learning and engaging the various ways people all over the world read the Bible. So for my final paper, I chose these verses in Matthew, and I explored how the ordinary people of Guatemala and Central America read the Bible and find their own voices in it. This way of reading the Bible has come to be known as the popular reading method. So basically, it's pretty simple. It asserts the foundational premise that the Word of God is not only in the Bible, but is present in the lives of all people who try to live faithfully. And so you begin by reflecting on your own life, your own personal experiences, and then read the Bible and recognize the way God speaks through the words of the stories. So it's not about interpreting the Bible. Instead, it's this way of touching the liberating presence of God's love revealed in the struggles and experiences of the people. And so with this in mind, I invited the travelers to Guatemala before we left to read the passage, to think and reflect for their own selves, the stories of the sowers, or the Spanish word for rural farm working people, campesinos. How the campesinos and the seeds and the soil have their own stories to tell. And it's our calling, our opportunity to listen to them. Seeds are small. And as Kay talked about, some can be larger. They come in all sorts of different sizes. The seeds you have, hopefully you all have them, from your bulletin. If you didn't get some, there'll still be plenty available at the door. These are amaranth seeds. Amaranth is a grain. You'll see some of the pictures a little bit later. They're the big purple. They also come in orange and black. And it's a grain, and it was an indigenous plant to Guatemala that was almost completely destroyed and eradicated by the Spanish colonizers, and then later throughout the genocide and armed conflicts. So you can plant them, too. You can take them home, do a little Google research. They take about 6 months to grow, so you may want to start them late next winter for us to be able to grow them and be harvested in late summer. So hang on to them. Hang on to them, because they are life. In these little baggies, these seeds are living things. These seeds hold the power of life, the message of the kingdom. And the seeds of the sower in the surrounding communities of Rabinal in Guatemala most often were held in the hands of women. Many of the men in this Maya Achi community were slaughtered in the mass genocide of the 1980s. And our group had the opportunity to what I call take a pilgrimage of sorts to this very rural community of Rio Negro. And I say really, really rural because there are no roads. We had to take a boat and still hike up a mountain to get there. And so you can only imagine, out in the middle of what seems like nowhere, very few people gathered in these remote communities. But between 1980 and 1982, more than 440 people were massacred in these tiny villages. And on March 13th, 1982, after already a slaughter of men in the community, the army and members of the civil patrol entered into this tiny village and rounded up the women that were left and the children and the elderly. And they forced them up 3 kilometers a side of a mountain. And we did this pilgrimage. It's steep. It takes a while. Along the way, the soldiers ate the food that they stole from the village, and they forced the women to do traditional dances for the soldiers' entertainment. They tied the women and beat them and tortured them. And at the top of the mountain, surrounded by only the trees as witnesses, the soldiers killed 70 women and 170 children. And we walked this path and heard the story from one of the survivors of the massacre, who was only a boy and had managed to run off and escape. During the slideshow, during the offertory, you'll have a chance to see some of the pictures. It's where the crosses are in kind of a peachish coral. They look like steps. And that was the massacre site that we visited. And the remaining people from that who fled, just a small number of people, went into hiding deep in the mountains, often with only the clothes on their back, and they left their homes and crops and seeds behind. If and when the people were able to return, they found their homes and fields scorched by the military. This, of course, meant their seeds were destroyed too. One of the sayings that Garden's Edge has learned in working with these communities is that when you lose a seed, you lose a story. You lose part of history. And it has been over 30 years, but communities in Guatemala continue to seek life and hope after the atrocities they endured. The seeds of the sower of this parable, perhaps their very presence, represent hope. And the following stories from the participants on our mission group share those stories with you. The stories of hope, the stories of the people, the stories that we will continue to remember with our brothers and sisters in Guatemala. So each of them is going to introduce themselves. I forgot to remind everyone that before they begin. So please introduce yourselves. And David's going to get us started.
Good morning. I'm David Keeling. I went to Guatemala. When thinking about a reflection, when I sat down to do this, what first came to my mind was a mirror. Many of us, we look in the mirror, we say, oh, do I look fat today? Oh, my gosh, these clothes don't look right. My hair is all messed up. But when do we ever look in a mirror and think down deep inside ourselves? When do we ever look past the physical presence? I know I rarely do it. But that's what was great about Guatemala. We had maybe, one mirror, two mirrors the entire time we were there, little teeny ones. So it gave us a great chance to sit down and think, wow, I must have grown somehow in this trip, correct? So for me, it was when we went and visited Mario's garden. This man was a survivor of the massacres that Melissa just spoke about. He tends to this beautiful organic garden, and he puts so much of his life into it. When we were going through, we were also very tired, but we came to this corn stalk. And at first I was like, it's corn, guys. I don't see the point, you know. But this special variety was one that men said can only grow to a certain height. But this man, he uses organic compost, so completely natural, God-given ingredients. So this corn grew beyond the natural height that men said it can. I was like, at first, obviously, I was like, okay, you know, some corn did what it wasn't supposed to, big deal. But then later through the day, I was sitting and thinking, that compost was made from ingredients that God gave to this earth. That must mean something. Mario didn't use didn't use chemicals that man made, you know, insecticides, pesticides. He used natural, God-given ingredients. And this allowed the corn to break through the limits that men set on it. And I thought, oftentimes, humanity sets limits on ourselves. Even, you know, personally, I set limits on myself. I can't do this. I can't go there. But then I thought, if you trust in God and trust what God has given you, you can break through those limits. You can go beyond what man has said you can do. And I thought that was just such an awesome thing to see in just such a simple plant that this man, you know, he tends and loves to every day. And I thought that was just something I needed to take home and I needed to share with you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Andrea.
Good morning. Andrea Unson. This was my second trip to Guatemala. So Guatemala, take two. Statistics show that each year 6.3 million children still die of mainly preventable and treatable causes before they reach their fifth birthday. And 289,000 women die from pregnancy-related causes each year. The majority of these deaths occur in the poorest places in the world, like Guatemala. A fairly new program called Nutra Action has been started by Jose Miguel to address these concerns. He is working with four communities in the Robinell area and with a total of 66 children. We had the opportunity to join him and his team on one of the trips to the village. A group of women and their children met at one house. The children were weighed and measured. We were able to help out with this. I watched as Judy held and placed them on the scale and then laid them down to be measured. It reminded me of taking my children to the pediatrician. Most of the babies and children were happy, but one little girl did not want to be taken from her mom, and she cried. The team has kept records on how each child is progressing, and the results are encouraging. Jose Miguel circulated around and spoke with each mother about the progress of her children, and then he would give the kiddos high fives for their progress and their improvement. After this, another member of the team did a cooking presentation of how to use amaranth and granule flour in recipes so the children and adults will get the nutrition they need. The mothers and children got a portion to eat right then, and they shared some with us so we could taste it. It was really quite good. Through this program, the seeds of the amaranth plant are planting seeds of hope for these mother and their children. Hope for a healthier future and hope for a better future. It's wonderful to see what we are a part of and making a difference for this community. I'm glad I had the opportunity to go back to Guatemala a second time. If you were in church 2 years ago, I spoke of calling on God's name for strength and sure footing on our hikes. I had said that it was the hardest thing I had ever done in my life, both physically and emotionally. This time I felt God saying, "I am with you always, even if you don't call my name." The walk or pilgrimage that Melissa mentioned was a very long and difficult hike, and I felt God's presence through it all. At no time did I feel alone. In this time, even though it was a harder hike than before, I didn't feel like I needed to call out to him at each and every step. I already felt secure and protected. I believe God wants all of us to know that he is always with us. Whether we are hiking a mountain trail in Guatemala or just living our daily lives here in Rochester. Thank you again to the congregation for helping to make all of this possible. God bless.
Good morning. I'm Christina Mossgraber, and I'd actually first like to take the opportunity to thank the congregation for making this all possible. Your support, and we knew that even though you weren't with us in Guatemala, you were with us in thought and in prayer, and so I would just like to open with the gratitude that I have for the church that I've grown up in and everything that you've done to support us over the years. So for anybody who knows me, knows that I'm a firm believer that there's no accidents in life. Everything happens when it's supposed to happen, and everything has a reason behind it. And so today I'm going to share with you one of the stories of hope, as we've all mentioned, throughout all the terrible things that happened to Guatemala in the early 1980s, it was amazing to see the hope that's coming back to the country and all the programs that are helping with that. So I'm going to share with you today the story of Josefa's seeds. And I knew right away, as soon as I heard this story, that this is what I wanted to talk about when I got back. And this story was shared with us actually right after the story that Andrea shared, where we were up in the village working with the children. And they said, "Oh, we're just going to go down the hill and we're going to have lunch at Josefa's." And I thought, okay, well, we're just going to walk down the hill. So we walked down a large, large hill. My footwear was ill-prepared. I did fall. I feel I'd like to tell you that before someone else does. And then we got to the home, and they offered if anybody wanted to make tortillas. And so, of course, because I like to try everything, I wanted to make tortillas. I couldn't make tortillas, and I was informed by the women of the village that I would never find a husband because I can't make tortillas. So I was pretty much 0 for 2, even though I was just so happy and honored and thrilled to be here. And as we were sitting there, we were shared the story of when Josefa's father was killed in the massacre, same as many families. Their land was torched and their crops were lost, and they thought that all the seeds were lost. And when Josefa and her family were able to return to their land, as she was tilling the land to put in new crops, she found a jar of seeds that her father had planted. I like to think, you know, just for a rainy day, no accidents in life, and clearly the people were not prepared, and, you know, they weren't warned of this genocide that was to come. But he had made that preparation just, again, to make sure his family was taken care of. And I was just so moved by that, and it you know, related to me, to my life, and the message, you know, that I would bring back and share is that there are no accidents in life, and we don't always prepare for a rainy day, but there's so many gifts that we can share and gifts we can leave to our family and friends without even realizing we're doing it. And they might not realize it today. They might not realize it next week. It might be 30-plus years. But I just would like to bring back that message of hope and encourage you to share your gifts with your family. And if it's a surprise in 30 years, all that much more special. Thank you again for your support.
Good morning. I'm Rob Oman. So when we read about, or hear about, see, or visit places that are in such dire need like Guatemala, it's really easy for us to come back and look at the abundance that surrounds us and just think how simple it has to be to take some of what we have here and move it over there. But frankly, I think this idea of they need what we have is where a lot of people can be led astray in thinking about charity and mission. Over the course of our week in Guatemala, I was struck by a powerful sense of potential. Even through the backdrop of overwhelming beauty and equally overwhelming poverty, I kept catching these glimmers of hope, signs of change and progress, and flashes of possibility. The intrinsic beauty of the work that we're supporting through Garden's Edge and through Cacho Alone is that it finds and nurtures the potential within the people and culture of Guatemala itself. And it's using those to start to break the cycles of dependency that many of them are still trapped in. For example, finding the native seeds that will produce seed for the next year at the end of the harvest, rather than having to purchase the new seeds every year, has allowed them to break away from that. And teaching more efficient methods of small-scale agriculture has allowed families to break free from having to travel for seasonal work across the other side of the country, leaving their families behind. We got to witness how they're combating malnutrition by holding workshops on healthier cooking for mothers, tracking the growth and quality of health in their children, and how they're attempting to break the dependency on junk food with workshops for older students at the Nueva Esperanza School that expanded the conversation into effects on the environment and local economy. Growing up in GPC as a youth, I learned to look for ways that I could directly help people. Let me help build something, paint something, put a roof on something, clean, weed, cook, teach, drywall, whatever will make it better. But on this trip, I saw firsthand the power and importance of another type of mission. More than anything else, the people of Guatemala need independence and stability, and to give these, we must stand by them as allies and neighbors as they plant the seeds and nurture them to grow. Thank you.
I'm El Calvo, the bald guy. Imagine, if you will, the tiny village of Chichapa. High up in the mountains and only connected to other towns and villages by one sinewy, dirty, dusty, bumpy dirt road that winds its way through the mountains. It weaves through the mountains like the thread through a backstrap loom. Up into the forest it winds. And then imagine the sounds of the morning. Even before the sun comes up, you can hear the soft-shod footsteps of a woman as she goes to her casina, the kitchen. And the next sound you hear is very familiar in Guatemala. It's the of tortilla making. And that's the mother's hands making the tortillas over her wood-burning stove. And a rooster crows somewhere in the distance, and down in the mountainside you can hear a baby cry for its mother's milk. But then suddenly shadows appear out of the forest, and the sound of pop, pop, pop of automatic machine gun fire takes the place of the. And soon there is silence again. The baby's cries are gone. The tortilla making is silenced. The village is wiped out, and only a few survivors flee for the shelter of the trees with nothing but the clothes on their backs. Their crops are then destroyed and burnt. The livestock was taken for the soldiers' food, for evil must be fed too. And this was the life for the Mayan people for nearly 40 years. And in that time, over 600 villages were wiped off the face of the earth. 500,000 Mayans were displaced. 200,000 Mayans were murdered and killed or disappeared. And thousands more injured. Chichupa was particularly hard hit. The soldiers herded the villagers into a church, locked them in, and set it on fire. And because of the fear and the chaos that this war created, people fled their homes, families were separated and destroyed, and the ancient knowledge of how to grow these crops for food and medicinal purposes was being lost because people had other things they had to think about to survive. So where is the hope for these people? Well, we saw the hope in each of the villages we visited, the pride in the faces of the women as they took us out to their gardens and showed us the efforts of their hard work and toil. They told us how they have healthier children and a source of income by growing enough flowers or plants for selling produce at the market, enough for their own food, and then to sell the seeds at the end of the season. We saw the hope in the faces of the students and their parents that are the scholarship winners who came to talk to us one day. And we see the hope here in Gates Presbyterian Church and in Batavia Church and through our presbytery. Now, on the surface, this project may appear to be simple and easy, but it is not. Just as the textile weavings done by the women in the villages look simple, but it's so intricate and complicated to come up with those designs, well, so is this mission project. And as we walk with the Achi Mayans in the road of restorative justice and healing from the trauma and violence, they are the owners of this project. Kachalum, the Garden's Edge, and us, we are merely providing the tools which these families are using to gain economic security, food security, educational access. And they are doing the work, and it's back-breaking work. The students are becoming health promoters by going to the villages and conducting these workshops and tracking the children's growth. And at Nueva Esperanza, which is a school that Jesus Tico Osorio, who is a friend to many in this church, he founded that, and they learn their native languages there. They learn the agricultural skills and nursing skills and educational opportunities to help them be equipped to become a more valuable member of their culture and society when they graduate. And these are examples, and there are many, many more, were evident during our visit, and it was all very positive. Some things need a tweak here and there, but we didn't see anything major. The project is going so well, and it's being done in the right manner. And I just want you to know how important you are to those people in Guatemala who have suffered and endured so much. It is because of your compassion, your commitment to mission, your love of Jesus Christ, and your concern for other people in many other places that is helping to make all of this possible. And for that, I thank you. The people in the villages of Chichupa, Panacal, Rio Negro, Pacush, Rabinal, Los Flores, and Los Cincuentra, also thank you. Mucho, mucho, mucho gracias. And the people said, thank you.
You may be seated. At this time, we gather together to share our prayers of joy, our prayers of thanksgiving, and also our prayers of concern. If you have a prayer concern and would like to share it, raise your hand so the usher can see you, and they will come around.
I have great joy this morning that Peggy Colucci has agreed to share her talent with us. She leads a very busy life. She's got family all over the map, and she is the very recently retired director of the amazing Spencerport Community Chorus. Anybody that's ever gone to one of her concerts know how amazing she is, so I'm just so thankful that she agreed to do this with me this morning.
Thanks be to God. Got one back here, too. Go ahead,
David Keeling, prayer of joy and prayer of concern. My joy is that this past Wednesday, I had my annual eye appointment, and it was all good news, cleared for another year. And prayer of concern, though, my grandfather, he has the surgery that was booked a while ago, rescheduled, all that. So he has that this Wednesday, so prayers for him. Thank you.
And Marie Sim, I'd like all of you, please, to welcome Jerry and Pam Prendel. This is your second visit here, so please give them a warm welcome. Thank you.
We're glad you're here. Welcome. I see Tom going back, and while he's moving, go ahead.
Hi, Judy Tompkinson from Batavia. I'd just like to ask for prayers for my daughter-in-law's mother. Within the last week or two, she's been diagnosed as having cancer.
Prayers for her.
Jenny Smith, I can't even tell you how warming it is for me to have been a member for a long time in this church, to see this youth grow up and have productive lives, continuing to help other people. I had the fun of having some of the young people come to my house and weed today, and I am just so thrilled that we have such a fantastic future in our church because of these wonderful, wonderful children, and I can't say any more than that except it's a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. There's a second amen.
Abby Unson, I have a prayer of joy because my summer camp is putting on a musical this week, I believe, and hope that it turns out good.
Prayers for that, for sure. And I also have two prayers of thanksgiving, one for the entirety of the Guatemala Partners Committee, who are here. If you just wave a hand if you've been part of the Guatemala Partners in the past, current, yes, thank you. See the fan club over there. We are thankful for you because it is because of the ongoing commitment and relationship of so many that this trip was possible, so thank you. And a special thank you to Allison Gilday and her little kits that kept some of us less stinky than others. So thank you. Much appreciated. Much appreciated. Let us pray together. God, we give you thanks for the tiny seeds you bless the earth with, that grow in abundance, enough to feed the hungry, nourish the children, and provide a way of life for so many. We hold in prayer our brothers and sisters in the communities working with the Garden's Edge and Kachalum for the seeds of life they plant to care for their families and community. We thank you for the seeds you plant in our hearts, seeds of righteousness, yielding goodness and mercy, seeds of love, yielding justice and peace, seeds of compassion, yielding healing and renewal. We give thanks for this congregation, for Batavia Presbyterian Church and the Presbytery of Genesee Valley, who through the support of resources, time, and commitment, have provided the opportunity for us to engage in relationships and partner with the communities in Guatemala. God, we thank you for the bread of heaven, Christ our Savior planted in our lives, Christ our Redeemer growing in our hearts, Christ your Son making us one with you. God, we thank you for the gift of life. for water poured out on thirsty ground, rain that revives and brings life. And God, in our own country, where we continue to witness and experience such horrific violence, we pray for the communities in Tennessee and Louisiana most recently. But God, we know that these communities do not heal instantaneously overnight. May we indeed flourish, God, as your children, sharing love with one another, teaching, practicing peace, carrying out justice as you call us to. God, we offer all these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And our slideshow this morning does include many of the images from our trip. And, most of the stories that were shared covered these images. So, and the music that is playing is the traditional marimba, and the recording was done in Rabinal, where we were, though was not the marimbas that we heard one evening, which were beautiful.
Thank you.
O God, you have sown your seed in our lives, and you have nurtured us and cared for us. We offer to you now the fruit of your labor within us. Use us and the gifts we offer on these plates in the work of your kingdom, both here in this place and in our community and in the church around the world. Grant that through what we say and do, a rich harvest of peace and praise may bring glory to your name. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Many things to be thankful for. God has blessed us with such abundance and the opportunity to continue to give, to share love in this world. So go to do just that. Plant the seeds of love and justice, compassion and peace, both here, near, in our communities and far. And may God be with you always, giving you courage and strength and the grace of Jesus Christ. And the compassion of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.
Right in New York. Wow, nice to have you with us. What's up, young lady? Bonita señorita. Help yourself.